Thank you, Bron, for reading God's word to us today. It's great to have the kids with us here in the sermon service this morning, and I just wanted to say to you kids that what I've got to say is relevant to you as well. So if you want to listen along, that would be great, and you can use the activity sheets as well to help you listen. But when it comes to injustice in the world, I always hope that truth will prevail. In fact, I personally thrive on knowing the truth. I'm one of these people who, the more I know, the more content I am with my life. It was probably what led me to, years ago, study maths and physics in high school and uni. I love to know how things work. That's what physics does. It asks the question, how do things work? And in understanding how things work, you come to know the truth about what will or will not happen in any given situation. And there's nothing more frustrating for me than not having all the facts. A feeling like I've been left in the dark for some reason. Like things don't add up or don't make sense. And I oftentimes lose sleep over things at night. But I don't think I'm alone in this. I would go as far as to say that our society is infatuated with knowing the truth. Or at least thinking that we know the truth. I suspect this is one of the reasons why social media is so prevalent, because knowing the truth gives us a sense of certainty. It helps us to make sense of our circumstances and navigate a way forward. It gives us answers. It oftentimes can afford us closure on particular situations. It offers us a right and a wrong. I think that the Apostle John, who wrote this gospel that we read here today, recognizes our need, our human need, to know the truth. Because right throughout his gospel, and especially in the passage that was read to us today, John explicitly states his concern for us, that we know the truth and believe it. He wants us to know not only the facts, not simply what happened to Jesus, but to know and see clearly who Jesus is, why he came, and what his death achieves. But the great irony is that if we accept the truth about Jesus, then we must also accept the truth about ourselves. We must be prepared to see ourselves for who we really are. See, the truth that the Bible presents about ourselves is very controversial, and it can become very uncomfortable. It exposes an ugly reality about who we really are. And so this truth becomes difficult for us to accept, because it's the truth that condemns us. It is the truth that requires us to have humility to be able to see how broken and wicked this world is, and to accept that ultimately this is because we are broken and wicked also. Given that the truth that we will look at today is uncomfortable and difficult for a lot of us to accept, I would like to pray that God would help us to hear his word and accept it, that our lives would be changed because of this truth and what Jesus has done for us on the cross. So would you please pray with me as we look further at this passage? Heavenly Father, as we look at your word before us, help us to hear it and believe in your Son, Jesus, who died for us because we desperately needed saving. Help us to believe that we might receive life in his name. We pray this in his name and for your glory. Amen. It's no surprise that Easter, and especially today, Good Friday, is without question one of the most important days in the Christian calendar. As we come to the passage that was read to us, where we see the account of Jesus' death, as Christians, we believe, as we read these passages, and they recount for us the actual events that led up to Jesus' death, we believe that they are true, that it is a true account of what happened. And as Christians, we not only believe that these accounts are true, but more than this, we also believe that Jesus himself is the truth. This means we believe that what we read about him is true, what he says about himself is true, what he reveals about us is true, and that he is truly the only solution for our broken world and the broken relationship between us and God. And so John goes to lengths throughout his account to prove that Jesus really was who he said he was, that his death really achieved what it promised it would. He says over and over, these things took place so that Scripture might be fulfilled. And what's more, John himself bears witness to this account of Jesus' death. He says, this really did happen. I saw it with my own eyes. So let's start looking at the verses. Look with me at chapter 19, verse 35, where John says this. Chapter 19, verse 35. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you may also believe. He, that is John, who saw it, bears witness to this. And he says his testimony is true, and he knows that he's telling the truth. And the reason he's writing this account down for us is so that we can also know that it is true and believe. Not just these accounts, but everything that Jesus has done for us. John has written these things so that we here today, 2,000 years later, sitting and reading of Jesus' death, might have confidence that the evidence is true. We have this confidence because John, in his own testimony, relies on how Jesus predicts his own death and how Jesus fulfills the Old Testament scripture as he comes to die. John does this because he wants to point out that it was always God's plan, God's purpose, his intention for his son to die for the sins of the world. At every point in history, when God deals with people, even before Jesus was born, and even so now today, he does so knowing that his son Jesus ultimately pays the price needed to restore a right relationship with him. Jesus pays for it once and for all on the cross. And so for us here today, we have written down this eyewitness account of what happened when Jesus died. But right throughout this account, John helpfully interweaves both what Jesus has told his disciples already, as well as the prophecies of Jesus from thousands of years ago about the death of the Messiah, the King. These prophecies that predict the death of the Messiah and how he fulfills them helps us understand why Jesus died. And so we can recognize that his death was always part of God's plan and purpose. So John here shows us there is so much more going on in this story. There is so much more going on under the surface. Now, we've been doing a few renovations to the rectory, the building next door, which we can do now because we don't have a senior minister living there. One of the jobs we decided to do was to put up some new fencing. And so a couple Saturdays ago, I asked people to come help, and I had Matt Alder, I had Andre and Jesse come and help me dig some holes and concrete some posts in the ground. And so I started, I dug the first hole, and pretty quickly I hit a stormwater pipe. Now, straight away, I took a look at this pipe and I tried to convince Matt and Andre that I didn't break the pipe. But it was completely smashed and broken. But I said, I didn't break it, it wasn't me, right? And I could prove it because I said, look at all the roots in the pipe, look at all the dirt. This stormwater pipe isn't even being used anymore. I didn't break it. Right, well, Matt Alder, he decided he was digging the second hole, and he was using one of those bars, and he decided to play a prank on me, a bit of a joke. And so he shoved that bar into the ground, and he said, oh no, Matt, I've hit another stormwater pipe. And I'm a bit gullible, so I fell for it. And he got the response that he wanted from me. But it turns out the joke was on him. Because as he pulled up that bar, he realized he actually had hit another stormwater pipe. Right through the middle of it, there was no question who hit that pipe. We dug five holes that day, and we found three stormwater pipes in five holes. There was so much more going on under the surface than we could have ever imagined. There was so much more going on than what we could see. And John here, when he uses these predictions about Jesus from the Old Testament, the prophecies, he's telling us there's so much more going on when Jesus died than what we initially see and read. And so let's look at some of these, the ways that John does this. In chapter 18, verse 31, when Jesus is with Pontius Pilate. John 18, 31. Pilate said to them, take them yourselves and judge him by your own law. The Jews said to him, it is not lawful for us to put anyone to death. This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show what kind of death he was going to die. See, Jesus earlier on had told his disciples about his death. And in chapter 12 of John, John records how Jesus sort of foretold that he would be lifted up to explain what kind of death he was going to die. And so here John, when he's describing how Jesus is going to be crucified and the fact that he's physically going to be lifted up on a cross, he points out that this is a Roman way of carrying out a death sentence. And he does it to show us that Jesus knew how he was going to die. Let's look at chapter 19, verse 23. John 19, verse 23. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be. This was to fulfill the scripture, which says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. So the soldiers did these things. It's a strange little piece of information we're given there, isn't it? But John adds it in. And sometimes we think that maybe the soldiers somehow knew that that's what they were meant to do, that they needed to cast lots for Jesus' tunic to somehow fulfill something that was written about them earlier on. But that's not the case, is it? Rather, John is helpfully reminding us of what's written back in Psalm 22, where David, centuries earlier, described a future king who would suffer and die, who would ultimately submit to the will of his Father in heaven, and who would bear the weight of our sin. Similarly, when John describes how the soldiers did not break Jesus' legs, but instead pierced his side, he goes on in chapter 19, verse 37. He says, "But in that they did this directly fulfilling what the prophet Isaiah had said when he wrote, 'They will look on him whom they have pierced.'" See, John wants us to see that there is more to Jesus' crucifixion than just a good man who said a lot of good things dying a tragic death. In the same way that the stormwater pipes, even though we didn't know where they were going, they all have one purpose, and that is to drain the water away from the house. John wants us to see that the way that Jesus fulfills all these prophecies points to one main truth. And that truth is clearly seen in the words of the prophet Isaiah when he says, He is wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. See, it explains that our willful rebellion against God, our broken human nature, the sin of humanity, is ultimately what led to Jesus' death. This is the truth. God sent his Son to pay the penalty for our willful rebellion, our sinful human nature. And it was God's plan. He paid the penalty that we deserve in order that we might be able to have a restored relationship with God. That's the truth. Jesus died in order to save me and you from the hopeless futility of our sinfulness. He died to pay the penalty for our sins so that we might have life with him. But then this begs the question, do you believe this truth? Look with me again back at chapter 18, verse 37. John 18, verse 37. Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" Here Jesus says that those who accept this truth know him and listen to his voice. And yet Pilate here still questions. He says, "What is truth?" And I wonder how you would respond today to Jesus' death. See, the truth of Jesus' death is that it came to save us from our brokenness, our wickedness, but it's confronting and uncomfortable. It demands us, though, to either accept it or reject it. And so perhaps here today you're still asking, as Pilate did, what is truth? See, maybe it's easy for you to somehow believe that maybe there was a guy, Jesus, historically, who probably did live and he probably did die. But what if there's more to it? What if he actually was who he said he is? What if, as John claims, these Old Testament scriptures that point to Jesus are true? That he actually is the Son of God. It may be uncomfortable to admit. It may be really difficult to admit that you're broken and wicked. But that too, what if it's true? If it's all true, then we must accept that Jesus heads to his death on the cross, knowing full well that it was the will of his Father in heaven. It was a deliberate desire of God throughout all of history that that his son should come, be born, live, suffer, and die, and rise again, so that we might be saved. And so we here today need to accept that none of it was a mistake, none of it's made up, and we must realize that there is more going on under the surface. There's more going on than just a good man dying a tragic death. And so I want to ask you, what is your truth? See, for those of us who believe what the Bible says, today we remember what he did for us on the cross. And we will hear his voice, and when he asks us to follow him, we will follow him. We know Jesus has paid our debt. We know how bad we still are, but that Jesus makes a way for us to become children of God. Jesus has done it all, and he says to us, it is finished. But if you reject what Jesus has done and continue to ask what is truth, then I hope that you can see that there is no truth. There is no truth. And therefore, without truth, there is no hope, because there's no foundation upon which to base your future. There's no point at any attempt to better your life, because ultimately, everything is futile. Because after all, what is truth? Perhaps what you've heard here today makes you ask more questions. And if this is you, there will be people at the front of the church after the service that are happy to talk to you more about it. Or perhaps you're feeling like God cannot possibly save you from your brokenness and all the stuff that's going on in your life. But I want to assure you, that's exactly why Jesus came to die. And so if this is you, remember that the reason today is called Good Friday is that it is his goodness and his mercy and his compassion that was provided in this sacrifice that was needed to pay for your life. He only asks that you believe it to be true and trust in him. Friends, I encourage you today to not leave here and simply accept my words for this. Instead, go from here and spend time reading the Bible and examine the truth for yourself. There is more going on under the surface. And so it's my prayer that you would be prompted to consider, to study, to examine God's word for yourself in order that you might actually believe it to be true. When Jesus hangs on the cross and says, "It is finished," there is nothing more for him to do. He pays the full curse of our sin. There's no more debt left for us to pay, and nothing more for him to give. God the Son dies, and he declares an end to our confusion, to our hopelessness, and to our brokenness. He died so that we could live. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we remember the death of your Son, Jesus Christ, today, we thank you for the sacrifice that was made for our sins. Thank you that even though we didn't deserve it, it was your plan, through your mercy and grace, to provide a way for us to come to know you personally. We pray that we might remember, reflect, and meditate on what was done for us through your Son on the cross, so that we might have confidence to draw near to you, to hold fast to you, and to encourage each other in love to do the same. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to give you just a few minutes now to stop and reflect on what was said, and then Ella's going to come back up.